Time and again, we hear people saying, you know, you really need to put your trust in Christ. We tell our children to put their trust in Jesus. And if someone were to ask us, look, how do I become a Christian? I'm hoping that certainly one of the things that we would say is, look, you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? How do we trust Jesus, especially when Jesus is, let's be honest, isn't someone that we can just go to and see in the way that you can see me and I can see you, or someone that we, you know, at times struggle to understand who he is or what he is, never mind what it means to put our trust in him. Jesus told story about the Pharisee and the tax collector that helps us to understand in very practical ways, actually, what it means to trust in Jesus. Luke gives us the context in which this story was told. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this story. Verse 9. It's a story about two people. You have the Pharisee, who was a respected religious man. I suppose if you're trying to put it into today's context, he wasn't quite a minister, and by that I really don't mean that ministers are better than anybody else. I just mean in terms of who he was. He maybe was something more in terms of what we would regard as an elder. Somebody who was respected. Certainly, he had this outward appearance of godliness. He was one of those people, you know, one of those people that we look at and we tend to say, you know, well, I'm not sure I could be a Christian because, well, I hope there's no Herberts in the congregation today. I'm going to use that name quite a bit, so if there is, I apologize. You know, when we look at Herbert, we see someone with such an outward appearance of godliness, an outward appearance of holiness, that it looks as though they're just a cut above everybody else in terms of their goodness. And if that's what it means to be a Christian, well, I couldn't reach those standards. I couldn't be like that. This is who the Pharisee was. I hope you get what I mean. You know, that person that had such an outward appearance of godliness that it's almost intimidating. I'm certainly not saying here that godly folk are Pharisees. I want you to be clear about that. That's not what I'm saying. But he was the sort of person who put on a show, who projected an image of righteousness. And actually, I guess the key in all of this is that he took the glory for his godliness, his holiness, rather than God. People were saying, isn't Herbert good? Rather than isn't God good? And I guess that's the difference in what I'm trying to say. That's who this Pharisee was. And in the story, he came into the temple, and this projection of outward holiness was manifest in his prayer. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. I'm not like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. Verse 11. And so here we have a man who simply did not understand what it means to trust Jesus, what it means that your righteousness and that our holiness actually is a gift from God and not something in of ourselves. Here is a man who was trusting in his own achievements and his own righteousness. And actually, his attitude was a short step from praying, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other people. Standing before God, that's a short step than standing before God and saying, Lord, look what I've achieved. Look what I've done. Lord, you know, I've never looked at some of those internet sites that those other people have looked at. Lord, I've never gossiped the way those people have gossiped. Do you know, Lord, I've never pocketed a pen out of work, even if it was just a big pen that didn't belong to me, the way some of those people have. The man that's saying, Lord, look at who I am. You know, I've preached in Ballywillan Presbyterian Church. I was at church every Sunday. When the offering plate came round, you know, my envelope was thicker than everybody else's when I put it in. Lord, I've done my part. Now it's time for you to do yours, to welcome me into your kingdom. Now I can already hear you saying, you know, Stuart, we would never pray a prayer like that. And, you know, I believe you. It's a ridiculous prayer. And as I was saying the other day, you know, I'm 51 now, and I've been going to prayer meetings since I was in youth fellowship, and I've been to prayer meetings in numerous different churches, and I have never once heard anybody pray like that. And to be honest, I'm not even sure the Pharisees would have prayed like that. Because we've got to remember, this is a story that Jesus told. So what's he saying? Why is Jesus telling this story in the way that he has? Well, we need to go back to the context of the story. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this story. Confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. What's happening here is actually the Pharisee is being really critical of people. He's criticizing them. And so what if we were actually saying this morning that what we say about others, that critical spirit that actually all of us have to one degree or another, because we all make comparisons between ourselves and somebody else, that actually is a reflection of our trust in Jesus Christ. You know, Herbert is a real rogue. He doesn't work. He stands about talking all the time with hands in his pockets. Do you know what he said? Do you hear what he did? Now that I have heard in just about every church that I've ever been part of, and all too often actually coming out of my own mouth. And that is more, it is gossip, but it is more than gossip. It's more than just being critical. It's a comparison. When we allow ourselves fall into this trap, what we're actually really saying is, God, thank you that I'm not like Herbert. Thank you that I'm not like that. When we're saying this, what we're actually saying is, Lord, look what I've done. Look how good I am. When you look at Herbert, I am so much better. Look what I've achieved. I've done my bit. Now, Lord, you do yours. That's what we're doing when we make those comparisons, and every one of us make those comparisons. When we allow ourselves to think in these terms, we've forgotten the most basic of gospel principles. that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ alone. In comparing himself to the tax collector, the Pharisee had forgotten all of his own sins. He'd forgotten that actually all of us are justified through Christ alone. That all of us receive redemption in exactly the same way through Jesus. And whenever we compare ourselves to somebody else, especially when that comparison is based on some sin, did you hear what they said? Have you heard what they done? We are forgetting the sins that we've committed, especially when actually we're saying something that we think somebody's done something we haven't. What were our thoughts when we heard the news and people being arrested and us being shocked? Was there not an instant comparison? We've forgotten the sins that we've committed. We have forgotten who we are, and so we are starting to trust in our own goodness and not in the grace of Jesus Christ. But in Jesus' story, there's a second man, a tax collector. And his demeanor was very different. The Pharisee stood at the front and proudly prayed. The tax collector, he hung back. He was in the back row, not because he was a good Presbyterian, but actually because he understood that the further forward in the synagogue or the temple that he went, the closer he was coming to the glory and the holiness of God. And actually, he couldn't bear it. He couldn't bear to be that close because he was only comparing himself to God. He couldn't even lift his eyes. He understood his position before God, that was the only comparison that he was making. And it forced him to a place of humility. He really wasn't interested in what other people were like, what they were doing, what they were saying, whether it was about him or anybody else. He didn't really care how he measured up in anybody else's eyes. His standing before God was all that mattered to him. And so he prayed, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Folks, we're all in the same boat. It's called HMS Hopeless, and sometimes it's called HMS Sinful, or maybe the other way around. It's called HMS Sinful and sometimes HMS Hopeless. We all stand before God as sinners who can only be redeemed by grace and not by works. Doesn't really matter whether we're preaching the sermon or listening to it. Our standing before God is identical. We're either sinners saved by grace or sinners who need to be saved by grace. We're exactly the same. There is no room for comparisons with anyone except God. And that's never a favorable comparison for any of us. So how does all of this help us to understand what it means to trust Christ? Well, if we've understood who we are before God, if we understand what it means when we display that critical spirit, then we're beginning to understand that something in our life needs to change because we know that we can never really stand before God and pray a prayer where God is expected to save us because he owes us something. And the change that we need is that instead of relying on our own righteousness, our own goodness, the things that we've done, that we trust Christ. Trusting Christ means actually believing that prayer from Psalm 143 that we started our service with. and actually believing that it's been answered. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and in your righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment. For no one living is righteous before you. It is to believe that Jesus has heard that prayer and answered it. The Apostle Paul summed up what it means to trust Christ when he said this, writing to the Colossians. He said, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." Colossians 1:21-22. Folks, are we trusting in Christ or are we trusting in ourselves? Are we comparing ourselves with other people or to God? And if we are comparing ourselves to others, we're going to stand before God and we're actually going to ask him to judge us according to those things that we're most proud of. Thank you, Lord, that I did not do. I did not say, I did not think, I did not watch. Judge us according to those things that I am most proud of, Lord. And that will not be favorable because Scripture is clear. We will be found wanting. To trust in Christ is to compare ourselves not to one another, but to God. And so to cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But actually, it's a little bit more than that as well. It's believing that that prayer is answered. That with Paul, we can say that because of Jesus' death, because of the death of the only righteous one, so we are presented holy in God's sight. Trusting Christ is believing that in him we are holy and that we can come into God's presence without blemish and free from accusation. That's what it means to trust in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus has done. We thank you that in him we are clothed in these wonderful new clothes, that those dirty, sinful garments that define us are taken away, they are removed, and we are clothed from head to toe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you that because of Jesus, that we come into your presence with boldness and confidence because he brings us in. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that you would keep us looking to Jesus. Keep us trusting. Keep us believing. That we would take our eyes off one another and look only at him. And this we pray in his name and for your glory. Amen.